This is Dr. Robert Schock of Great Sphinx fame. Take a look at my website, www.robertschock.net, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
You are invoking the spirits to help you, but the forces they represent are so sinister and powerful. You shall be a toy in their hands.
Ghost Hunting, My Ethereal Anti-Drug. Diana Avena has been a representative and tour guide for Roswell Ghost Tour for the last 2 years. She enjoys introducing others to her city through its haunting tales and feels that it's a walk back in time each time she does so. Longtime Roswell residents usually find that they learn much about their city's rich history through this informative and entertaining ghost tour. The Roswell Ghost Tour is a two-hour tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of the founder of Roswell, Roswell King. Here, bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Creek Revival Mansions, Grand Creek. Wonder where that is. How about, let me read this right. Grand Greek Revival Mansions.
Creek.
And humble, I'm going to get this on the... This is going to be on the thing.
For the anniversary show. Blooper reel.
Grand Greek Revival Mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. I love to hear that.
Yeah.
Diana Avena's website is www.roswellghosttour.com. No spaces, no hyphens, no nothing. RoswellGhostTour.com. Welcome to Ghostly Talk, Diana.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you.
I have to. The first thing we need to point out, I think, Diana, while Doug was reading this bio,
flattering. Yeah.
It's easy walking. Why is it easy walking? I want to know why it's easy
Tell
walking.
Tell us there's no hill.
That's true. There's not any gigantic hills. We're not hiking or anything like that. So. It's a total of 1 mile, which most people can do in a two-hour period.
Okay, we just want to make sure we didn't need to bring a backpack or anything like that.
I think I can go a half a mile an hour.
Yeah.
I can do that. I can do this. Yes. Even I could do this, so it's something that really is attractive to me.
Well, the reason we asked that, I have to point this out, is Tommy Netspit from Haunted Hate out in California.
Right.
We talked to him a few months ago, and he's like, guys, it's a really easy walk, no problem, you know.
No hill.
No hills at all. And then we start talking about one of the haunted locations. He's like, well, there's a hill you have to go over. I'm like, whoa, hang on. Wait a minute. Well, you said there was no hills. What's going on here? So we have to make sure that, you know, that these are going to be easy walks for us because, you know, we do radio. We don't do, like, triathlons or something like that. So.
Neither do I.
Good. It's an easy walk. It's an easy walk. I'm glad to hear about that.
But yeah,
Well, when we walk through the cemetery, it's dark, so, you know, most people do not have to be in decent shape to do this.
Okay.
Good. Then we're good to go. But same thing with the Haunted Hate walking tours in San Francisco. It's not that bad a hill, from what I understand.
I know. We're just
kidding. We do joke around with him.
Yeah.
So you guys, it's 1 mile. How many different sites do you stop at and talk about then? How many different sightings within that mile could there possibly be?
Wow. Well, first of all, I always say I'm sure that I only know the tip of the iceberg of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever really stopped to count the stops we make. We start out at Bullock Hall, which is an antebellum mansion. It's now a museum. It's been there since the 1830s. There's an old funeral home. There's a couple of other, as you said, the Greek Revival architecture homes. And then we cross over an intersection because the first part is where the rich families lived that came to establish Roswell. And then we cross an intersection about 40 minutes into the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest is where the poor mill workers and slaves lived. So we're stopping around, you know, through houses and old houses that are now used as businesses. And then we go to a cemetery. So quite a bit going on there. And we think it's so haunted because of a couple main reasons. There's a gorge that goes down about 300 feet that Vickery Creek runs through, and that's really why Roswell was ever established. And of course, we're talking Roswell, Georgia, not Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah. We should specify that, huh? We don't want to.
I do.
Yeah.
But Roswell came down some Cherokee Indian trails, saw Vickery Creek down there, and then that's when he established Roswell. So, but anyways, that area, there's been a lot of archaeological evidence found that proves people have been living there for over 6,000 years. That's a long time for people to be living and dying in this location. And also, particularly during the Civil War, a lot of loved ones ripped apart during that time, not able to find one another while still alive, and we feel that many have come back to find one another after death.
Well, it sounds like the area obviously is rich in history, which makes this tour so interesting.
Right.
One of the things I know that, you know, in our discussions via email and stuff like that, you know, one of the things that makes this tour different is that there's always, you guys are always finding out about new things, not just, you know, not just the legends, let's say, of Roswell, but there's always new sightings of different things you guys have, you guys know, and then you incorporate into the tour. Am I correct?
Right. Well, that's, I think, why we're getting so much attention, is that there really has been so much going on, and we get repeat people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just this past Friday night, I had 3 repeat people,
mm-hmm.
and they keep coming back because they really genuinely felt that they saw something. And, you know, they're coming back with more friends, they're coming back with more equipment. So that's what really struck me when I first took the tour myself about 5 years ago. It was brand new at the time,
mm-hmm.
was that, wow, you know, these aren't stories that have been handed down generation after generation and then therefore probably embellished on. This stuff's happening right now. The man who established the tour is Jack Richards, he actually pioneered the ghost tour industry in Savannah, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
decades ago. But he lives along the route, he's recently moved away, but these were his neighbors and the people he worked with and around. And they just came and told him, once they found out, you know, what he had done in Savannah, they were saying, oh, well, I have my ghost story here. I have a ghost story here. And that's when he decided, wow, I'm going to do a ghost story here.
Mm-hmm.
So these are what are going on with people around, you know, currently. Now, of course, we hear stuff from people all the time, and we kind of put them at the backs of our heads, and we have this real strict rule that we only deem it repeatable as a story in the tour to be added if it's told to us 3 or 4 separate times by different people.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, it has to be multiple sightings before you guys would want to note
right.
it in your tour then.
Right.
Because I'm sure there's plenty of stories where people, I mean, all over there, like, oh, I saw something over there. I'm sure,
yeah.
I mean, it's like anything. I mean, you know, I'm sure you hear this with the work that you do. I mean, even the work that we do here on the radio show, when you mention that to a group of people or if you're at a party or something like that, you're going to have like 15 stories come at you right away of
right.
people who have, and it's not taken away from anybody's credibility. I mean, people genuinely see things, whether it's there or not. But you guys, unfortunately, I think if you guys took every story that you heard from people and tried to incorporate in your tour, it'd go from 2 hours to like 20 hours or something like that. It'd be
exactly.
So there's, I mean,
and even of the ones that we feel are truly legitimate, we really fight and kind of have to pick and choose to keep it down to the 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting because this is the first tour I've seen like that where, I mean, it's very current things. There's always current things going on with this, which makes it a cool thing to come back to. Like you said, you have people that are, so to say, regulars that come back more than one time to see if there's anything new going on.
Speaking of,
exactly right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have, even, you know, the 3 from this past Friday night that had been before, at the end they were telling me, oh, that was new. That, you know, they were pointing out what was new since they had come.
Okay, so it's always constantly kept current and
yeah,
fresh.
Yeah.
Is speaking of the people who take the tour,
yep.
and I ask this of everybody. I ask this about the Las Vegas tours. I ask it of Haunted Hate. And I'm asking it of you because I'm really interested in the people who take the tour. What are their reactions? How do you find them? How do you deal with, or do you get very, very, very skeptical people who are forced to take the tour by their, you know, significant other? And then how do you deal with that? I mean, tell me about the mix of people who come on the tour.
Well, first of all, I think the mix just goes all across the board. I had somebody talking to me about advertising one time who do just absolutely nothing about the paranormal and ghost tours or whatnot. And she was like, you know, well, who's your target audience? Well, I really didn't have any idea how to answer that because I've got 8-year-olds coming to do their birthday party on the tour, and then I've got, you know, I've had people who were so elderly that weren't walkers that they were in these little, you know, automatic what do you call them?
Those death carts that run you over at the store. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a good service you could offer. You could rent one of those for an additional, like, $20.
Yeah, those death carts.
I like that. No, those hover rounds or whatever they are. That
Oh, those ones you walk with them, the two, you put your feet on them and you, I've seen
those. Oh,
yeah.
I like those. Those are really cool. What are those?
I know what you're talking about. You know what we're talking about, Diana?
You know what you're talking about. And downtown Atlanta has a tour that you can get on those. And now I can't think of the name of it. What they're called either. We're looking like complete idiots right now. Everybody knows what we're talking about.
Oh, they're used to that. But you mean those two, they have those big round wheels.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You got and you stand on it, and then it...
It just kind of goes.
It
I don't even
a gyroscope in it, and it said it sort of
it keeps you balanced, yeah, so you don't go falling on your face. I mean, this thing just kind of...
Right.
It moves about a mile a day. It's really slow.
It's perfect for me.
But...
Well, anyway, the people though, you've had the, you know, from everything from 8-year-olds to the elderly. What about skeptical believers? Folks with their own stories.
For a while there, I don't think I've actually really thought to do this in a while. But at the beginning, as we were starting to walk to our first stop, I would just kind of have fun with people and say, okay, how many believers do we have, and how many people are skeptics? How many people were dragged here by somebody? You're here under duress and. And that all got some chuckles, and there'd be a good mixture. I really find though, in the 2 years I've been doing it, the people, I just feel a very palpable difference in really, I guess, their intelligence level regarding the paranormal. And I'm sure you guys come across that too. And I'm sure it's thanks to the Ghost Hunters shows and the paranormal shows that are on TV, and it's just so much. More into the mainstream.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I, at the beginning, it was so interesting to me that if people told me their stories, which is one of my favorite parts about doing it, of course,
mm-hmm.
you know, they would sort of sheepishly come up to me at the very end and say, well, what do you think of this? Do you think this could have been paranormal? I mean, this... And they were almost embarrassed about it. And now people are just talking openly as we're all walking, telling of their own stories, and they're bringing digital cameras to try to take pictures, and they're bringing equipment. So just in the 2 years, really a palpable difference in their attitudes and what they're really expecting to get out of it.
Well, that's another nail in the coffin for that point too, because we've been hearing a lot of that. I mean, we've talked to a few people on this in the last few weeks, as a matter of fact, on the show here, that say, you know, the taboo subjects such as the paranormal, it's really being broken down now because of the media a lot, like shows like Ghost Hunters and whatnot. Lots of people are much more open about discussing these things. Lots of people are much more open about taking questions about these things, too. It isn't this subject where you're going to be necessarily lambasted like you would like 10, 15 years ago. So there is a big difference in the attitude, I think, which is a good, I mean, it's great. I think it's really great. People are much more open about it now. That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
What about thrill seekers? Do you get that? Like, because I find that a lot of people, when I say, you know, oh, I go out to, you know, spend the night in scary places and that kind of thing, and they equate that immediately to, like, the old, what was that called, Fear or something like that on TV.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
And they think, or the most haunted places or something,
yeah,
where they
yeah.
would stick a family mm-hmm. in a castle for a night or something, and then they'd throw ghosts at them. here's a ghost. So do you get the thrill seekers as well?
Probably. Now, one thing that I mean, it may even surprise people. You know, we aren't costumed. I think people come at this from other ghost tours where they are costumed, and I call them more the street theater kind. And they may, you know, do some jumping and lunging at you and sort of get this sort of reaction out of you. And we've just felt that that wasn't our thing. Some people will kind of tell me afterwards that they went ahead and went back to the cemetery afterwards. So, you know, I think that there definitely is that. And then the old mill ruins, it's, you know, closed after dark. You're not supposed to do this. But, you know, I've had people telling me that they've gone to check out the old mill ruins afterwards, which there's a lot of activity surrounding as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is this thing also, you know, this is something we talked about in email also. You said there's a recent flurry of activity in the area that you guys have been noticing. Do you care to elaborate on that a little bit more?
Sure. A lot of the stories, you know, we'll get told to us by people who live or work around the area, and then they like to tell us the things they've experienced over the years. And, you know, occasionally there would be things that would happen, you know, on the tours while we're taking the tours, and that's always cool.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been several things added. But the concentration of things happening is definitely in front of the old bricks. Now, the building is quite historically significant because it's the first townhome-type building to be built in all of the U.S., built in the 1830s for the mill foremen and their families. And then, of course, taken over by Union troops during the Civil War to be used as a hospital for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been around a good while. There's been a lot of history there. Well, about a decade ago, it was used as a social club that could be rented out for various events and business meetings and whatnot. So the people that worked there during that decade had all sorts of stories, and we knew that they felt they had a Confederate soldier ghost taking up residence there.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing terribly scary or anything, but it looks like there's still activity from him. Oop, my battery's dying, so I'm going to switch phones.
No problem.
And also a small girl. Now, that's kind of a recent thing. Now, beginning about, this was mid-October, actually, was when I felt that it was just almost 80% of the time we were standing in front of the old bricks, we were getting something.
Yeah.
And it's not coincidental at all to me that this is when they began gutting that building to start building condominiums. So, of course, I'm really stoked to get people living in there who can come out and tell us what's going on at night. But so this past mid-October, we're standing in front of the building, and I had my back to the building. And as I was telling you stories, I did feel this gigantic cold spot on my backside, and it wasn't terribly cold out. So I didn't say anything. I was just telling a bit about the history and about the Confederate soldier ghost that they felt they had. And this upper window, everybody began to gasp, and they were saying the window upstairs is opening.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm turning, I'm really expecting that means the top pane is lowering, because that would make sense to me. You know, you got a lot of stuff moving around in there as they're gutting it.
Mm-hmm.
But I turned around and saw that wasn't the case. It was the lower pane rising upward. So my eyes dart to the bottom floor, and I see that the old door is still there, but they had ripped out the threshold, and I could see, because there was about a 4-inch gap underneath that door, that the bottom floor was gone. There's a basement, but the floor was gone.
Okay.
So that tells me there couldn't have been much of a 32nd floor, and I don't imagine somebody was up in there able to open up that window without us seeing an arm or a stick or something.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no floor.
I mean, although I'm a believer, I'm just, you know, it's real important. Everybody knows that myself and everybody associated with the tour were paranormal investigators as well. We, you know, if there's a natural reason to rule out something, we choose it. So I just didn't see how that was anything but paranormal activity, and I really got freaked out, and I'm ashamed to say that this was the only time in the 2 years I've been doing the tour I wanted to leave. I walked away. And the group stayed. So I left the group, but I was walking backwards sort of away from the group, kind of keeping my eye on them, still able to see the window still moving,
mm-hmm.
opening, and I realized that there were these clunking footsteps behind me. So I thought, oh, I guess someone from the group got ahead of me after all. So as I turned to say to this person, do you believe these people? I saw that there was nobody behind me.
Oh, God.
So, right. And there's been many times when I'm standing in front of the old bricks that I've been pushed off of a step that I stand up there. I know I've mentioned a full-bodied apparition I've seen,
mm-hmm.
and it was in front of the old bricks that I saw him for the second time that night, too. So there's that. But then now the going back to the girl. Now, I've had a gentleman on the tour one time. This is probably in, like, November.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing a documentary about the tour, about ghosts in this house. And he was there that night, and he caught on camera what looked like a girl peering out of the downstairs window that would have been underneath where the window was rising upward.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's been several people telling me that they felt that while we were standing in front of the old bricks, they felt that some child was trying to grab their hand, and then they looked down, not see anybody there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this past January, I had a 53 eighth graders up from Florida. They were on a Civil War educational trip, and they were ending it with the Roswell Goat Tour. So I'm standing up on the step, and I'm just, you know, as you can imagine, just trying to keep them quiet long enough for me to tell the stories. And at this point, still a lot of renovating being done. The old doors were removed, and the new doors were not put in yet. So there were these big gaping holes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling the stories, and all the kids would gasp at the same time and say, why is there a girl? There's a girl in there. Why is there a girl in the abandoned building? So this happened like four times. And finally, at one point, and I was real cognizant of the fact that it wasn't like a couple of them said or did something, and then they sort of did a ripple effect where they all reacted. And this was all at the same time.
Yeah,
they were looking pretty rattled.
Okay.
So then all of a sudden, they all scream at the tops of their lungs and go bolting in all in the same direction away, and I'm freaking out because I'm thinking they're just going to go right into the intersection and get clobbered.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, they were out of their mind screaming. And again, it was at all the same time, not reaction like a domino effect. So my husband is still kind of frustrated with me that I didn't turn to see if I could see what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking this is a bad situation. So I went running after them. The chaperones caught up. We all caught up. And a couple of girls were hyperventilating so badly they had to be tended to in the coach bus by a nurse.
Oh, my goodness.
And what they were all saying was that up to then they kept seeing a girl walk into that door frame, look out at them, but then continue on several times back and forth. Then what made them all run and scream was that at one point she stopped, looked out, and then bolted out towards us.
She came out towards you guys?
Yes, this is what all the kids said.
This is what scared the daylights out of them, it sounds like, too.
Right, right.
Well, you said that this is interesting that you mentioned that the girl kept walking in the doorway, looking at them, and then walking into the building. Am I correct?
Well, she was within the building, I guess the bulk of the time, walking back and forth. They would catch her in the doorway. And they thought it was an actual girl in there.
Mm-hmm.
They were concerned that this was an abandoned building, and they said she looked to be like 8 or 9 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Well, then it seemed like...
And, of course, wondering if it's a ghost, but they were... That's what kept making them gasp. And then, according to them, she just stopped, looked, and ran out towards us at the end.
Well, that would scare me, too. I think I'd be hyperventilating also. I'd be on the ambulance along with those little kids.
Right.
Well, the girl literally ran at the crowd.
That's what they all said.
And about how far would it have been from the doorway?
15, 18 feet.
Oh.
Where we were standing?
No wonder they were startled.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think a young child, that's for a young child, that's got to be pretty scary, too.
Yeah.
Well, what's concerning me is that, I mean, of course, you know, people go on ghost tours, and that's probably what they would say that they would be all over seeing. But a very large travel company set this up, and this was the first group that they had, you know, and they said, wow, if this goes well, we'll continue to send groups your way.
Mm-hmm.
And they've not sent any other groups our way. I think the adults were not really happy. The chaperones weren't happy about this at all.
Well,
I think they thought, like, it was staged, although obviously it wasn't. It would have been unsafe to have somebody in that building. But do you think the travel agency had thought, oh, well, you know, they crossed the line? I mean, what? Even though you didn't?
Wow, I hadn't thought about that. I probably should call and find out.
You might want to check up on that. I'll tell you what, I want to hear more stories about haunted Roswell, if that's cool, in the second half an hour. Would we be able to do that, Diana?
Sure.
Why don't we take a quick break here? This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doc.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Taps Ron Milioni from the Atlantic Paranormal Society.com, a.k.a. Gizmo Man, and you're listening to GhostlyTalk.com, the best number one radio talk show in the nation.
Gizmo. Hi, this is Heidi Hollis from AlienAdvice.com. You're listening to the Hot Boys at Ghostly Talk.
Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we're back with more from Diana Avena of RoswellGhostTour.com.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the Haunted South. And we were talking on the break, and it turns out you guys are like, what, 20 miles north of Atlanta, right?
Correct.
That's not far from where I stayed at the Haunted Red Roof Inn.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Absolutely amazing. I can't even believe it. It comes back to haunt me.
Well, that was a long time ago, too.
That was quite a while ago.
That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I unknowingly stayed at a Haunted Red Roof Inn.
Apparently, we had a question in the chat room.
There was a question in the chat room. Let's cover the question.
Let's get this question out of the way.
Ooh, and they look at me. Nathan wants to know if you've ever actually gone on an actual ghost hunt in any of the areas on the tour.
Yes, I have. I've done several. An antique store that's had a lot of activity, the old public house, which is highly coveted to get into, and they let myself and my friend Patrick Burns, who is the founder of GhostHounds.com, and he's also, of course, now on Haunting Evidence on Court TV.
Yep.
But they handed me the key and let he and I in overnight, and we did a webcast one, and that was really, really cool. In fact, we did that this past Halloween.
Oh, wow.
And also, and if anybody, if you're on the RoswellGhostTour.com site, if you go to the link section, there's an area and it says, things that we'll talk about on the tour. Bullock Hall, which is one of the old antebellum plantation homes and is now a museum, I've done that one. And also Barrington Hall, which is another one. It's just become recently a museum. So that was pretty thrilling. And then what's really interesting is that, honestly, while we're doing the tours, of course, I'm so focused on my job at hand that I'm really, not in tune as to what's going on around me. But it's almost like it's a paranormal investigation in and of its own because, as I said, when things get sort of experienced several times, then we'll add it. So a recent one was we were leaving the cemetery, and the fourth person came up to me and said, I see a child peeking around that tree. Well, that's four different people that have said that. And, of course, not having added that to the tour yet, it's not like I said that somebody else has seen it and then they go, oh, yeah, me too. And this was just completely out of thin air that these people come and tell me these things. So people bringing their own equipment and they wind up sort of all getting drawn to the same places, and that's kind of interesting to me.
Well, I was going to say that, too. It seems like, these tours, I'm sure a lot of the other tours are the same way. I mean, people are bringing cameras, they're bringing their recorders, they're bringing all types of, devices to document this, along in case they do see something or hear something or whatnot. They want, so in and of itself, these tours are kind of like, a paranormal investigation, which is very cool. I mean, it's a good opportunity. I think it's a great opportunity for somebody who's first starting out too, to really get themselves broken into this thing. I suppose they're like going somewhere with a couple people, in the middle of the night, like a cemetery. It'd be nice to go somewhere and learn some history, learn a few things, and to be able to take some pictures, perfect their craft, so to say, and have a good time at the same time. I think that's really important.
Right, and what's been so cool for me is that, when I'm going on investigations that I, set out to do, I'm picking people that are like-minded, they're, as scientific as possible and whatnot. And what's been really thrilling about the tour is that, you're getting such a motley crew of everybody coming at it with – I've had people come with dowsing rods. Mm-hmm. I've had people come who do a lot of energy work, and they're telling me that there's a negative energy here. And there's – so although, if I were putting together my dream team. I wouldn't think at this point to include them. It's really cool to sort of get their take on the area, you know, almost inadvertently this way.
Yeah.
I always am an advocate of getting the information any way you possibly can.
Amen,
and,
yes.
And if the information comes from a you know, sensitive person or somebody working with energies, it doesn't matter. You get the information. You take the report. That's what I advocate.
Absolutely.
So, but also, a little bit of news that came in over the break was it's a segue. The folks at Robin the folks at Robin Valley said it's a segue scooter.
Yeah, those things we were talking about with the little thing balancer so you don't fall on your face. And they, you look pretty ridiculous on those things, too. I have to say, you're riding...
Well, they show people in, like, business suits.
Well, yeah.
Like,
well, they're
going to work.
Well, they're talking, like, the corporation of the future here.
Yeah,
it's going to
well.
Be all of us, as opposed to walking around the office, we're going to be riding our little scooters around the office. I don't really understand the logic in that.
I don't either.
But, yeah, that's it's called a Segway scooter. So we just pimped Segway scooters for some reason.
I guess.
Stories, Diana. I want to hear some more stories about the area. I don't know about the rest of these guys, but they
yeah.
can just turn their mics off. I don't
no,
care.
Haunted stories. I love them.
Hit us up with a couple. I'm just curious. I want to hear some really cool stories from Roswell.
Okay. Well, when I first took the tour, this, I think, was the one that really stuck out to me to be the most memorable. And now, since then, I've met all the people involved, which makes it, you know, even way more cool to me. And this is a story that developed over a period of time. A woman purchased this old, it's one of the oldest mill cottages. It's a duplex home.
Mm.
And that meant, I mean, the poor mill workers lived there, probably many families at one time. And she wanted to start her dot-com business in this building. Well, it had obviously been abandoned for many decades. That it appears that there was never even electrical wiring put in it.
Oh, wow.
Right. So, and this goes back about 6 or 7 years ago when she got in there. And a lot of renovating to do, as you can imagine. And there, the whole neighborhood, which, you know, included Jack Richards, the man who developed the tour, of course, heard about all that she was dealing with water damage. Now, first of all, she had the hardwood floors put in and electrical wiring and sheetrock.
Mm-hmm.
And a pipe where they were about to stick a sink into was just shooting water out overnight for hours and hours for no apparent reason, ruined everything that they had done that far.
Oh, my God.
So started again. And overnight, a hot water heater just split in half, which is, that's ridiculously unheard of.
Was it brand new?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Unless it was horribly defective. I don't really see that happening.
Well, that got water, of course, everywhere, ruined everything again. So she started from scratch again, and this time got almost complete. You know, she had a sprinkler system put into the ceiling. The furniture and computers were all inside. And overnight, for hours and hours, for no apparent reason, that sprinkler system was going off, ruined everything. So it totaled over $250,000 in insurance claims.
Oh,
my
God.
God.
And this is an itty-bitty place, so it's really alarming, you know, to when I tell the group that. Well, Jack had, she had met Jack by this time, and she said, you know, we need to have an exorcism performed here. I mean, obviously some things are here.
Yeah.
And he says, that's kind of overkill. There's things you can do along the way. And he had a psychic friend that he trusted very much coming through town days after that conversation. So he had her come into the building. Now, she says she was able to communicate with a handful of female spirit ghosts that they all had the same story, that they were all there waiting for their men from the war. So she said that she really felt she had to convince them that they were dead, first of all, and that they needed to move on. They were not going to fulfill any sort of mission in hanging around there. And they all did so except for one who emphatically stated this was her home, she wasn't going anywhere, and she was upset at these people and what they were doing to her home. First of all, and she, of course, didn't use this language, but what the psychic was able to gather from her was that she was very upset about a window that was on the back side of the home being blocked. They put in an addition to the back side, and it blocked a window that she used to watch her husband walking up the hill from the mill after work every day, and she was still waiting to see that happen, and all she knew is once these people come in, she didn't have that view any longer.
Yeah.
And also, she said she was upset at what she said, the fire that they kept putting in the walls.
Yeah, okay.
So,
didn't understand the concept of electricity and of electrical wiring, and was perceiving that as fire. Now, that's interesting to us because Sherman's troops did burn everything they could in Roswell down, and if she was around during that time, she'd be pretty sensitive to that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So she was equating the electricity with fire, obviously.
Right. So, again, this woman was, you know, she's saying to Jack, we need to do, you know, help me. Let's figure out how we can do an exorcism here because, you know, this isn't working out. Well, he talked her into gathering things they had found during the renovations. They found a very old pair of women's shoes. They're so cool. Old nails and old letters, and they encased them in a glass casing, and they put her name, Catherine, inside. And when they were able to open for business, they had a big party, made a big deal about welcoming Catherine, and there's not been any issues with water damage since then.
Oh. Well, yeah. At least it ended happy. Well, sort of. $250,000 later,
right.
we can open up. That's right. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's pretty much it.
It's a really interesting story, though. I mean, as far as the perception thing, because that's what I find really interesting, is that this person equated electricity, you know, with the fire in the walls. I think that's really, really neat. I mean, well, she wasn't happy about it, obviously, but I think it's really neat how this lady perceived, well, the spirit perceived the electricity they were putting through the home as fire in the walls. And
yeah, I mean, you would never think, that never would have occurred to me.
It's an interesting perception. I mean, it kind of gives you an idea of the era they came from, too, where, you know, you think about things like that, the technology we have now. We are manipulating the elements to the critical point now where, when you think about that, we are manipulating fire. Through electricity, it is fire in a lot of ways. It's hot, and it has all those elements. So somebody coming from that era would look at something like that and go, you're putting fire in the walls. Were you trying to burn the place down? Are you crazy?
Yeah, that's scary stuff.
It's an interesting perception on that. What is there another story? Is there any other? That was a really good. I want to hear another one if that's okay, though.
Okay, sure. Gosh, let me pick and choose here. What is it? Now, the old mill ruins, this is the one we get told most often. You know, like people will say, hey, when I was in high school, and I'm like, and I can almost mouth the entire rest of the story with them because we hear it so often. The old mill ruins are down there. They're getting all overgrown with greenery. There's, you know, old mill, like, wheels. They're taller than me, getting all rusted out. Well, now, if people are down there after dark, and this, again, is where people aren't supposed to be down there after dark, but people will report hearing the sounds of clanging, like metal against metal, correlating with people doing heavy physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like that might be more of a residual thing, but we get told that all the time. In fact, when my husband and I first heard this, when we first attended the tour, he was really, you know, kind of jolted, and I looked at him, and I could see that, and I said, what's going on? Well, he had gone to high school not too far from there, and he did that on a couple of occasions with some friends, went down there after dark, heard exactly what she described. And he doesn't like that I say this, but I do regurgitate what he told me, that they ran screaming away from there like little girls.
And I'm sure you love telling that part.
I do, and I have a guide, a new guide. He goes by the name of Pony Boy. Hi, I know you're listening. And he says that he gets great through a lot of telling that, you know, about his boss every time he gets to say.
And it's just the sound of metal clinking, like you said. It sounds like work.
Yeah, correlating with the like groans.
Ooh,
wow!
Isn't that wild?
Mm.
So, but this is like more of a residual haunting than an active haunting.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but still, it would be something. Why doesn't anybody have that on tape?
Yeah, I haven't gone down. Well, just because it's full of spiders and snakes.
Oh, I'm not going. Nope, nope, nope. Yeah, it won't be me. Nope, 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 nope.
You just took Doug off the
list. Yeah, I
took
Doug off the list for getting
it'll
the evidence
someone
for
someone else. Yeah.
I'll do it.
But what would have to happen, though, is I suppose you'd have to find a secluded place during the day and put a voice-activated recorder in there, and then hope and pray it's there when you return the next day, because you wouldn't want to be in that place after dark. So, you know, but it could happen, I suppose.
But if you set it there and just left it there, how could you assure that someone else didn't walk up?
Well,
you're looking for clanging and stuff like that.
It's illegal for somebody to be there after dark. So if somebody, if you do it a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
and you get the same thing, either the same, you know, hooligans returned, or or it's real clanging, you know. But
Well, it sounds like a really interesting area, though, with groans and stuff like that, along with this metal cleaning sound. I think that would scare me half to death, too. I'd be a little nervous to hang out there for any more time. And we'll make sure. Well, I hope your husband wasn't listening to that.
He's well aware.
Is there any other stories out there you can think of right now?
Let me think of what could be.
We're quizzing Diana. We're grilling Diana.
Oh, well, then it's got to be what we end with. We call them our famous ghosts because they're in the old public house. That it was the town commissary before the Civil War. And it's been various things, of course, since then. But really, really, really quite active. That's the coveted place everybody wants to get into.
Mm-hmm.
The story, the history behind it, and everybody knows it's Michael and Catherine that haunt it, although I know of some others. And it's more than just those two. But Catherine was about a 17-year-old girl. Her father owned the commissary, and she was working the commissary at the front counter.
Mm-hmm.
And the Union troops came into town, and one by the name of Michael came in, and they fell in love at first sight and had this very open romance, which, of course, was unheard of back then.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, it was short-lived because within a couple of weeks, he was charged with treason. Legend has it it's because of this relationship. That we can't prove, but it is factual. He was charged with treason and hanged in the square.
Oh, God.
We meet in the square and end in the square. So Catherine saw the hanging, watched the whole thing from upstairs in that commissary because it's right there in the square.
Mm-hmm.
Within 2 weeks, she hanged herself upstairs in that room.
That room.
Right. So... this is a close second that, you know, to the old mill ruins that we hear all the time, that this is a close second. We hear this often from people, that they've seen the two of them dancing, you know, even from standing out in the square looking up at the windows, they see them dancing together up there. A lot of activity in that room. Anybody who I've ever known that's worked in the couple of restaurants that it's been since I've lived here for the last 17 years, they all have stories. But none of it is scary. It's a lot of prank-related stuff.
Yeah.
The workers just, oh my gosh.
Oh, you there?
You there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Switch phones again.
The workers just know they have to deal with a lot of, oh my gosh, now this one's dying.
Oh no!
We're having equipment failure, and we're not really ghost hunting at the moment. We're just talking about.
Well, it's ironic that you mentioned pranks, and then your phone dies on you.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Okay, wow.
No, this is good.
There, you sound great now.
Yeah. And also, the ladies' bathroom, for some reason, has a lot of activity. There's a couple of stall doors, and we've heard so many women, you know, or I'll be even telling the story, and I'll see women gasp, and they look at each other and like, oh, my gosh, that happened to us, that the couple stall doors have hook and latch locks, and women will say that they'll be sitting in the stall
mm-hmm.
and see it just open up by itself, and then the door fly open.
Oh, that's not very cool.
Oh,
and that's
my
not
God.
Some place where you normally have your camera ready to take a picture
this
either.
Yeah.
And I've also had 8 different women tell me that they will be standing at the sink washing their hands, pretty certain that they're the only ones in that bathroom, and they see in the mirror a reflection of a woman standing behind them, and then they look behind them, and there's nobody there.
That is the ultimate creep out right
I
there.
I want to go.
I hate,
the
no,
creep
I hate that. I'll tell you why, Diana. One day I was shaving, right, and my girlfriend was in the shower, all right? And I don't know why this happened to me, but I'm shaving, and I'm thinking about, you know, the day I have to do and things I have to get done today. And I know she's in the shower, right? I know Amber's in the shower. There's nothing. No problem at all. Everything's cool. And for some reason, she poked her head out to ask me something, and there's like, now, it's like your classic psycho scene, right? The whole bathroom's nice and steamy. I got shaving cream all over my face. It's all over the counter. It's a mess. And I'm just, you know, hacking away on my face, and the steam's coming up again, and I just look in the mirror at my face, and there's Amber's face behind me. And I know she's there, right, Diana? I know she's there. I nearly jump out of my shorts and run out of the bathroom. It freaked me out so bad. I hate that. I can't stand that. I mean, and she's, Amber's very much alive, too.
Yeah. Good. So the face in the mirror is a personal, like...
But that's a bad thing for Scott,
yeah.
Apparently.
And it happened to me again recently. We were at a restaurant. And I don't know why this idiot was doing this. And I think I don't think he'll ever do it again. But I walked into a bathroom, right? And the lights were off in the bathroom. This is a public restaurant. I'm in the bathroom. I mean, I go in the bathroom, and the lights are off, right? And as I turned the lights on as I was walking into the bathroom. So when I turn the lights on, I walk in front of the mirror to wash my hands, and there's somebody standing behind me, right?
He was in there in
he
the
was
dark.
He was in there in the dark. So What's the first thing? I turn around and grab the guy and put him against the wall like I'm going to wreck him, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I was just talking on the phone. And I'm like, what do you mean, in the dark? I never got an explanation, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm like, you're just too stupid to be alive. Why don't you stay in here for good? I think you'll be more useful in this bathroom than, you know, out in the world with the rest of us. But, yeah, that whole mirror thing creeps me out, obviously. I have a real soft spot for that.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go on a tirade about that. I apologize.
I'm going to email all of our future guests and say, if you've got a mirror story, you've got to bring it up on the show.
Yeah, don't bring up the mirror
thing. On the same token, I want to go. I want to have that happen to me.
I don't like mirrors. Anything else but mirrors. Not my thing.
So we have to go down to Roswell, Georgia.
Yes, add it to the list.
And get
there's like 1,500 places we're going next year.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So we might as well, let's add Roswell to the list.
Yes.
Roswell, Georgia.
And I'll make sure I have my camera with me in the bathroom at
and
all
when
times.
And when you go to the bathroom, you'll have your camera.
I think you're getting in trouble doing that.
Yeah, you might get
I think
trouble.
I might, but...
Well, I mean, if that's where it's happening at, give it a shot. I know there's been places where we've actually went to the bathrooms with our cameras because mm-hmm. we heard there was activity in there. So this is as good of a place as any to check something out. What's your website again, Diana?
www.roswellghosttour.com.
How long do the tours go? I mean, do they go all throughout the year or is it seasonal?
No, it is all throughout the year.
Okay, so, I mean, any time of the year you can go down there, just look at the schedule on the website.
Right.
If you want to go down there and hang out with Diana and her crew who give out, you know, who do this tour, Roswell Ghost Tours. Diana, we need to thank you for coming on the show. It's been a great hour. Thank you again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And it sounds like a lot of fun. This tour sounds like a whole lot of fun, and I think we need to get down there sometime.
I know
we
do.
We
need to totally
have to get down there.
Is there anything else you'd like to throw out there for our listening audience, Diana?
Keep an eye on our site. I'll put up information as soon as I can, but I'm involved with other paranormal investigators in a TV show that, keep your fingers crossed, is looking good, might be coming out later this year.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, now that sounds cool.
Well, you need to keep us posted on that, Diana, because we'll have you come back and talk about that if you'd like.
I would love to.
Yeah, and any of your projects, just keep us informed and we'll get you on.
Cool.
Cool.
Hang on the line for 1 second, Diana. We're going to go to break here real quick. Next hour, we have the mighty Rick Hayes coming on, which we are so excited about. He's a repeat guest. Last time he was on, we had an absolute riot, and we were so excited to have him come back on again. So the next hour, we're going to have Rick Hayes on. That was Diana. I'm going to screw
Diana
it up.
Avena.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. I don't want to wreck it. Well, we'll be right back. Doug, I'm done. I'm frying here. Go ahead.
Yeah, you are. That's pretty. Actually, this is fun to watch.
I kind of like it. Let's keep going.
I know. It's not so bad.
Pee off, both of you.
Diana Avena, thank you so much. Hang on the line. www.roswellghosttour.com. Coming up next, lifesgift.com. Rick Hayes will rejoin us right after the break.